This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Alexandra Caden, who is an official with the League of Women Voters. In fact, she's the lead consultant on the debates for the League of Women Voters of California and is also a senior fellow at the School of Public Policy and Social Research at UCLA. Welcome to California Politics Today.
Thank you.
And our other guest is Judge Jim Gray, on leave as a judge, but actively campaigning as the Libertarian candidate for the United States Senate in California. Welcome, Judge Gray.
Mark, it's always nice to talk to you.
What we're going to talk about today is pretty specific. It has to do with the inclusion of Judge Gray and other candidates who are not major party candidates in the debates that the League of Women Voters conducts. Maybe, Alexandra, you could start by just telling us a little bit, very little bit, about the background of the League of Women Voters as it led up to their being, in some ways, the premier venue for political debate in California.
Well, for many years, as people know, we sponsored debates at the presidential level, which is what everyone thinks we still do. Unfortunately, in 1988, the parties took that away from us. But we still are always known for sponsoring debates because we are a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse candidates, but we're very strongly committed to giving the voters the best opportunity to get to know everything they can about the likely candidates for office. We sponsor more than debates. We have a website, www.smartvoter.org, which gives voters an opportunity to find out not only everybody on their ballot, but it gives the candidates an opportunity to post anything they want on their ballot. We do forums. We do a whole slew of other kinds of activities to try to engage voters in learning about who the candidates are for public office.
Right, so you're very much about getting information by and about candidates to the voters.
Right.
Okay, and we're going to come back to a one word you used a second ago, likely candidates. Judge Gray, before I go to Judge Gray, what decisions have been made recently regarding senatorial debates here in California by the League for their debates?
Well, the qualifications for the debates, and we always set these way ahead of time. These are not new.
Right.
We've set them for years. If anything, we've changed them a little bit after the recall when there were 135 candidates and we set a qualification of 3% in an independent poll of likely voters.
Right.
Normally, our qualification for participation in a general election debate has been 15%, and we've put it at 10%.
Okay.
And on that basis,
right,
the only candidates whom we have invited are Senator Boxer, who is running for re-election, and Bill Jones, who is the Republican candidate.
Was there a consensus level of polling that you used to determine how much Senator Boxer was likely to get and how much?
I think we've seen polls which suggest that she's got at least 10% of the yes.
Well, no. I mean, could you be more specific about what the last one you saw in terms of?
Actually, I don't remember because it's been so long ago.
Okay.
I don't recall.
Okay. And so on that basis, Judge Gray was not invited to participate.
Right.
Where and when is this debate going to take place?
It'll be carried on NBC statewide,
right,
by affiliates on August 10th from 6 to 7 in the evening.
Do you know where the candidates will be standing?
It will be at the Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles.
Okay. Judge Gray, how do you feel about this?
Well, first of all, I want to say again that I feel that the League of Women Voters is a fine organization. They're trying to do the right thing for the right reason. I believe that they're being short-sighted here, but I certainly don't want anything I say to be criticism of them as an organization because I applaud them. Secondly, yes, there is a poll. The last fetal poll I saw, Barbara Boxer had something like 53%. Bill Jones had about 30, if I remember correctly.
Right.
He's gone down about 3%. And somebody else, actually, quote-unquote, had 2%.
Right.
I'm convinced, Mark, that if I had been named in the poll, that I would have probably met their criteria. But it does cost money for polls, and I haven't seen fit to engage polls because I want to wait until closer to the election and spend our money on TV ads, because that will actually work.
Right. Now, I informally discussed this with the head of the field poll myself in preparation for this, and he explained, as you just mentioned, that prospective voters are given a choice between Senator Boxer, Mr. Jones, or anybody else, and if they say anybody else, then they're asked, who among anybody else would you like to vote for? But obviously that's different than them asking between Boxer, Jones, Gray, and Fineland, say, who you're going to vote for, isn't it?
And that's right. But there are basically two areas that I am requesting the League of Women Voters to reconsider on. One is, there is a logical cutoff here, and we obviously need cutoffs. I mean, if you're going to have a campaign with 135 people for governor, you need to have a cutoff somewhere, and I think the cutoff last time was at the top four, and I applaud that, and I understand the practical reality. But here in California for the U.S. Senate election today, we have three serious campaigns going, the Republicans, the Democrats, and the Libertarians. No one else is involved in a serious campaign. The Libertarian Party is the third largest party in the United States. We are on the ballot in every state of the Union and probably pretty much all of the counties as well. And my campaign has a headquarters, we have fundraising, we have a paid staff. I am going around the state. I'm running 100% of my time. You know I'm a judge, but I'm on an unpaid leave of absence for a year. So no one could say this is not a serious campaign. And after that, the Green Party doesn't have a horse in this race as such, and the other ones are just not serious campaigns. So I think that that is a logical cutoff, and that I have numbers of constituents that unless I am present in the debates, they will have no voice. And that is true with regard to anybody favoring drug policy reform, anyone favoring the repeal of what I call the excesses of the Patriot Act that neither of my opponents want to do. The whole entire Islamic American community is voiceless by our other two opponents.
Okay, so, Sandra, does that weigh more heavily than not having 10% in the polls?
Unfortunately, no, it doesn't. When you ask why we do these debates, we do them for the benefit of the voters. That's our constituency in this. And, you know, as laudable as I think Judge Gray's campaign is, his commitment, and even his issues, I don't really believe that voters, even if they did have the opportunity, would vote for him over the possibility of voting for someone who is much more likely to become elected. Now, let me just say something about why the debates, I think, have become more important. Because, frankly, a couple of years ago, I thought debates were not going to be important anymore, the way they were going.
Right.
What's happened over the last, and I just ran a update for the League of Women Voters on our presidential selection process. Over the last 20 or 30 years, the amount of time candidates, and of course Judge Gray will be very sympathetic to this, the amount of time candidates get on the media, not paid media, but the news media.
Formerly free media, now earned media.
Sometimes known as free media, yeah.
Right.
Was they would get a soundbite of about 45 seconds.
Right.
In 2000, that was down to 9 seconds. And there were a lot of complaints every year. Academics and others get really outraged by the way the media covers or doesn't cover politics.
Right.
And so 4 years ago, they resolved that they would do more than just cover the horse race, which was telling you who's ahead in the polls and who's raising the most money.
Right.
They would cover the issues. Well, by covering the issues, what they covered was the strategy. So a candidate would say, I have a health care proposal. And the reporter would say, Candidate X has a health care proposal, and this is why. Now, he wouldn't tell you what was in the health care proposal, but it would talk about the strategy about why they were presenting a health care proposal at
right.
that point and in this way. And the candidate's soundbite was just 9 seconds. So
right.
the opportunity for candidates to say, so that voters can hear, what they believe in, what they stand for, what they're going to support, what they're going to oppose, is in some strange way, given the nature of the media, less today than it was 30, 40 years ago.
Okay, well, let me take a specific case, and I don't really know what Senator Boxer's position is on the deregulation or decriminalization of marijuana, but I know for sure that Bill Jones is proud to have sent tens or hundreds of thousands of people to prison in California for having written the Three Strikes Law, as Judge Gray points out in his book about drug policy. This is what is doing a lot to fill the prisons in California.
Mm-hmm.
The position that marijuana ought to be decriminalized isn't going to come up in the debate because, Bill, it's a question of Barbara Boxer doesn't seem to have a position on it. Bill Jones has a stronger, harsher position than she does. Judge Gray has a third position, which is that the laws need to be changed. And if he's excluded from the debates, how is that position going to even be raised as part of the discussion?
There's another element of a league debate, which is that it's fair. The candidates don't just say what they want to say. They
right.
say they respond to the questions they're asked.
Right.
So part of our job in setting up a debate is to make sure that the media asking the questions
right.
are knowledgeable and thoughtful. And
but if there are no real differences between the Democrat and the Republican...
I frankly, have
right.
heard that argument
right.
for decades. Dimes not worth the difference between the parties.
Yes.
And anyone who believes that today is out of their mind.
Well, it may not be that there's a dime's worth of difference, but in just to take this example... That the incumbent senator, you know, doesn't really matter to her. To the Republican candidates, it's important that the drug laws be maintained very harshly. And to Judge Gray, it's important that they be changed. And if he's not in the debate, that
I'm not going to characterize which candidate has, as it were, the right answer.
Right.
That's not what I'm about.
No, I'm not talking about right answers. Yeah, okay.
I'm saying that there are many answers to these complex questions.
Right.
That what these particular candidates say about them is will depend to a certain extent on what questions they're asked by the media,
right.
By the panel, and that these particular candidates also are known for being one very conservative and the other for being very liberal.
Right.
That is a big difference.
Well, okay.
I've got to go back to this question. That's the choice the voters are going to have to make.
But when you go into a super... I'll let Judge... Because I could argue this case here. Judge Gray...
I'm here, too.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Let Judge Gray say whether he feels this is the importance of getting new ideas into the political discussion.
I began my discussion with saying there are two things that I would like the League of Women Voters to reconsider. And the first is their 10%. And I'd like just still to talk about that for a moment and then go to my second. You may remember in Minnesota that Jesse Ventura only had 8% of the vote before he was allowed in the debates, and of course we all know that he ended up winning. So debates really can make a huge difference, and to a major degree, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that if you say, no, you can't get in the debate without 10%, you won't get 10% unless you're in the debate, and that catch-22 goes around. Also, of course, being a libertarian, I can tell you that we just had our national convention for selecting of our nominee for president in Atlanta, and Michael Badnarik, who was a distant third, actually did very well in the debates and ended up winning the nomination because of that. So this is important just to refocus upon. The second thing that's really clearly important throughout the history of our great country is that third parties have emerged over the past. They have brought new and serious ideas to the table, and then once those ideas are put forward, they are in effect adopted by the other two parties and the other two larger parties. Here, of course, Mark, just like you were beginning to say, yes, of course, there's a difference between Barbara Boxer and Bill Jones, but with regard to very critical issues on our plate today, with regard to the Patriot Act, for example, they're both on the same side. No one is going to say we need to repeal the Patriot Act and get into the reasons why unless I'm there. Same thing with regard to drug policy. Same thing with regard to three strikes. Those are critically important issues that we need to do, as well as, of course, neither is going to do more than lip service about talking about reducing the size of government and its intrusion, etc. So those ideas weigh very well with our people, with our voters, and they will not be discussed because they're pretty much on the same side of those issues. That's why I feel it's critically important for our democracy, for our country today, to have a discussion, a full discussion of these issues, to represent those people without a voice, and I'm the only one that will do it.
Is part of the problem, Sandra, that if you had three candidates instead of two, that the amount of time that the... I mean, it would cut from a half an hour to 20 minutes.
Yeah, but just take a look at another example. Suppose we had Nader and Kerry and Bush.
Right.
Nader has already cost Bush... cost the Democrats one election.
Well, that's some people say that, and some Ralph says
Ralph,
the system's
says,
already broken, it doesn't matter.
Well,
that's
not where I'm at, and I don't think that's where the league is.
Oh, okay.
And I think that there's another interesting part. I agree with, I mean, the judge, in fact, is using an argument that I've used with him before about the role of third parties. And it's an interesting problem we have in our country. If we were a parliamentary system, we would put together the Coalition for Governance after the election.
Right.
So that Judge Gray could run and say he got 10% of the vote, and the other two were divided, and no one could put together a majority unless they dealt with him. Then his party and his views would have salience and would become part of the government. In our system of divided powers, that's not the way it works. We have to put together the coalition for governance before the election, and it's extraordinarily difficult for anyone elected to office, to actually executive office, to actually implement their ideas, if because of the separation of powers. So it doesn't actually add to our capacity to govern if you throw in other party candidates.
Meaning that if Judge Gray were elected, well, he's running for a legislative position.
We have one independent in Congress right now,
right.
Barney Sanders,
right.
Bernie Sanders from Vermont,
right?
Who I think caucuses with the Democrats.
Also from Vermont is Senator Stafford, who's also an independent.
And Jeffords, yeah.
Jeffords.
Now, didn't he become a Democrat lately?
He became an independent
independent when he used to be a Republican.
But I think he caucuses with the Democrats.
I think he does.
Yeah. So, in effect, it's nice that he calls himself an independent, and it's nice that Bernie Sanders calls himself an independent.
Right.
I think he originally was a socialist,
yes.
I'm not sure. But, in effect, they're Democrats.
Okay. Do these arguments hold salience for you, Judge?
Let me find a point of major disagreement with Ms. Caden.
Okay.
I'm sure if I lived next door to her that we'd like each other and have each other for dinner. But this one
have each other over for dinner.
We might even be right.
Isn't that Survivor or anything?
I did correct it.
No.
But I strongly disagree with one thing, if I understood it correctly, that she's saying that one reason not to have Nader in the debates was because he may have cost Gore the election. I strongly disagree with that. Because he was in the debates and was able to get at whatever
ideas he wanted to say.
Well, but okay.
Right, he wasn't in the debates.
He wasn't in the debates. Right.
That's right. But
he cost the election anyway. Yeah.
Well, I disagree. Right. I disagree.
As
the impartial moderator, I think Gore won the election and it was stolen by Bush.
Well,
but that's another story.
All right. We'll
have to stay with the issue at hand,
right.
Mr. Moderator. But
thank
but
you.
But more information to the voters, the better. And the idea of getting new ideas, fresh ideas, discussable ideas out there, instead of just the same old pedestrian Republican or Democrat, is causing our country to get into that morass. But I do have different ideas, and you mentioned some of them. I have mentioned some as well. I am a serious candidate. I am not doing this for drill. We are out there with the voters, with the media, and we are in this race, and I think that she is working against, or the great League of Women Voters is working against its own principle. They keep saying they want to represent and have the benefit of the voters. The voters will only be benefited if all three serious candidates are included.
So what do you think about that? That really is the crux of this discussion.
Of course that's what he believes, and I don't denigrate his belief in that.
Right.
But I don't share that view. And in addition, we still, if he were to have 5% or 10%, we would include him. It would appear that the voters don't share that view.
But what about the catch-22 argument that the voters don't know who he is because he doesn't have any free earned media exposure?
I don't know that this is going to be the only debate. I think there's talk of three debates. And he says he's talking about spending money later.
Right.
Well, frankly, August 10th is not really when most voters are paying attention.
Right.
If he's spending money and he gets his ideas across and his ideas have salience, then he'll have a very good case for participation in a debate later on.
Okay, but
he doesn't in this one. And if he's not willing to let his to put his money where his mouth is before this debate so that he can raise his standing in the poll, it's not my obligation to respond to that.
So what about putting your money where your mouth is, Judge?
But just a minute.
Yes.
Neither the Democrats nor the Republicans caused the field poll to go forward. And that wasn't funded by them. They just excluded my name. So that didn't have anything to do with me, and it didn't have anything to do with them either. And it really is
inappropriate. But it is the way polls are conducted.
Yeah, that's true, unfortunately. But it is inappropriate for the League of Women Voters at this point simply to say, oh, well, let's let somebody else worry about it. They are the best thing going. they are people that hold themselves out as furthering Democratic interests and benefit of the voters' interests. She hasn't responded to the best Jesse Ventura argument or the Michael Bednarik argument, that these were legitimate candidates, they were allowed to debate, and then the voters were able, to their benefit, to listen to their ideas. I am speaking for democracy here. I am not speaking for procedures that are set in stone, regardless of the circumstances. I don't believe in zero tolerance where you don't have to make a decision. I think that this is a very logical demarcation point to allow in this particular election, and nobody should be able to argue with it legitimately, that there are only three serious candidates here. It isn't just a lark. It isn't just some form of personal aggrandizement. But there is something legitimate here that is being deprived from the voters if the League of Women Voters does not include it.
Did the League reach its decision after taking a poll of all the League members?
The League reached its decision about how, well, this has been our policy for years,
right.
Decades, in fact.
Right.
It's both national and state, and we recommend it at local levels as well.
Right.
This has been our policy for many years. Now, let me just say something about democracy.
Okay.
Democracy really is nothing more than a process. It's the set of rules that the voters agree to, or the citizens agree to, about how they're going to govern themselves. We don't set those rules in each individual instance. Now, as a judge, I applaud his concern for not applying the law without taking justice or mercy into consideration. That's his role as a judge. That's not the role of the League or not the process of democracy. We're going to apply the rules this time and not apply them that time.
These rules and these
criteria were set without any individuals in mind. This is not directed against Judge Gray.
Well, no, I understand
and,
that.
And by that same token, if we change them, we would be not true to our sense of obligation and responsibility to the voters, and we would not be serving any interest.
So are you saying that it's valuable from the League's? Are you saying it's valuable from the League's point of view that the rule be, get 10%, you're in; don't get it, you're not in, rather than leaving it up to a group of League leaders to decide who's a serious candidate with new ideas?
Exactly. Because
Well, what about that argument, Judge? Does that carry any water with you? Hold any weight?
It really cuts against the free flow of ideas. It really cuts against the idea that there are other positions that are unheard. They're legitimate positions, and it works against change, beneficial change.
There are many legitimate positions. There are many policies that I'm sure we would all, many of us are both talking right now and who are listening, would agree, we would agree together about. But that isn't what's going to be happening in this election, and it isn't what's going to be happening in government. I don't actually agree with the judge that he represents views that are not represented by some of the candidates. Nor do I agree that he actually entirely represents, for instance, the entire Islamic community. I say that as the co-chair of the Muslim Jewish Dialogue in Los Angeles, so I have some involvement with the Muslim community. I think that there is a value of realism that I can understand from his perspective he would disagree with, but it's there, and that's where we are.
Let me ask you both to comment on this. Let's say that this rule, 10%, holds. Minor candidates or candidates from parties that aren't getting 10% don't participate in debates. The Democrats and Republicans go back and forth and have a duopoly of power and discussion and voters' awareness. What's that going to mean for the evolution of democracy going forward, would you say, Judge?
Well, I hope that by now I have answered your question, Mark. We can freeze ourselves into certain positions, and that's where we are. The people feel that they, even in the field poll, they wanted to vote for someone else, don't have even another name. It may very well be that those people didn't know I existed, and that's certainly a possibility. But I am so concerned about the direction of our country today, and I disagree with Ms. Caden. If Barbara Boxer voted for the Patriot Act and still supports it, and Bill Jones supports it as well, no one in the Islamic community is going to be represented by anyone that votes in favor of the Patriot Act.
Okay.
Now, you know, that's a broad statement.
Okay.
But by and large, that's simply reality. They will both agree that the Patriot Act is necessary for our security. when there is a major argument to against that. Yes, it's still, and you can put your finger in the wind and see that most people believe that the Patriot Act should be continued, but they are ill-advised as to some of the reasons why not, and those reasons will not gain any form of discussion unless I am a part of that debate.
Okay, as theoretically as you want, Ms. Caden, could you say whether you think there will be a deleterious effect, a good effect, or no effect of continuing this duopoly position in debates, in elections, in government, going forward?
Given our structure of government, we are essentially divided in two. In fact, one could make an argument that psychologically one always divides things in two. The role of the third parties, as the judge mentioned, historically in our 28 years of history,
right,
has been to raise issues that get adopted by one or the other of the major parties. Only once have we actually, twice, changed a major party, and that was the last time was with the Civil War, when one major party fell and another one replaced it. Issues like that are so overwhelming will do that, and it's quite possible we may be in a stage where something like that could happen. But the role of a party is actually to win elections. If it keeps losing elections because it takes the wrong positions, it will eventually change, which is what happened to the Democrats. The Democrats moved to the left in the 60s and 70s. Clinton brought it back to the middle. They began winning. The Republicans have moved further and further to the right. If they start losing, they will change. As long as they're winning, that's democracy.
So you're essentially saying that there's a free market here, but with two players, and that if one's offerings are not acceptable to the voters, they'll fall.
They'll throw the rascals out.
And so on, and it'll go back and forth. Okay. I think we've reached an impasse pretty much on the philosophical and theoretical aspects of this. Maybe we could sort of wrap up by going through whatever practical steps remain between now and the debate that could get Judge Gray in the debate. Why don't you say that again, Ms. Caden? What he'd have to do if he wants to be in the debate?
He'd have to get 10% in an independent poll of likely voters.
How late does he have to do that before the debate?
Probably the week before the debate. Even if he got it the day before the debate.
Right.
In order to do that, he can't be saving his money until September or October. Now, he may be quite wise to save his money until September or October for other reasons. Our debate is not the be-all and end-all, nor is our debate the only place where he has an opportunity through the league to become visible. And as I mentioned from the very beginning, a smart voter, which I believe he's taken advantage of,
right,
for which we're quite pleased.
Okay.
And
so
he has the opportunity to post not only his ideas in a short form, but he can post several, or I think top dozen, or an unlimited number of papers about what he wants to do and how he wants to do it.
Okay. Judge Gray, what you think you can get 10% before August 10th?
I may very well try, but I don't know what we're doing on that. I want to leave then this debate with two final thoughts. Number one, as Caden said, and she's right, I think, historically, that we've only had two times in history in which the one party has taken over from another. Why count out the possibility that this could happen again? And by their, I don't mean to use the word arbitrary in a defamatory term, but it is an arbitrary situation. Instead of looking at what is really happening today and taking three major full-fledged candidacies, they're putting the 10%, which is an arbitrary thing. So why count out the possibility that the Libertarian Party could, in fact, take over from a main party, which I think is a very viable possibility. The second thing is that we cannot count out new ideas, and that this is a position that they have decided to, in effect, be judge and jury to decide what is best for the voters. When the voters need that extra information, they have in the past. When you can get your information out, like Jesse Ventura did and Michael Bednarik did as well, then the voters do have a viable choice that they didn't know they had before. And the League of Women Voters, even though they're this great organization, is short-sighted here, such that I will bet Ms. Caden a dinner that before we get to a week before the campaign or the debate, that they will decide in reality that they would better serve their voters by having me a part of the debate, and I think they'll change their mind.
Are there procedures in place at the league that would allow that to happen, or it's pretty much decided that
the criteria are what the criteria are?
Right.
You know.
Okay.
If he gets 10%, we'll invite him.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to let you get back to preparing for the debates, and I'm going to let you get back to raising money and getting your 10%, Judge.
Yeah. May I give you my address?
Please, go ahead.
And Mark, I'd ask for your contribution, and Ms. Caden, I'd ask for yours as well. It's Judge Jim Gray for Senate actually just our website, judgejim.com, or you can call us at 1-888-JUDGE-JIM. And we'll be happy to send you a contribution envelope, both of you.
And in the interest of equal time, of course, if you want to give any information for the League.
I want to give the website of the League, www.smartvoter.org, where you can look up Judge Gray. But also, I regret that I'd appreciate his offer of dinner if he gets the 10%. But in order to maintain our nonpartisanship, I can't contribute to his campaign.
Okay, so
but he has my best wishes.
All right, so we're operating at a high level of ethics and civility,
That's right.
I want to thank you both for both of those. And I'm going
to
keep following this, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Thanks. Don't hang
luck
up.
To us all.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm going to don't go away.